We had an idea how things were going to be. We had an idea what things were going to look like. And many times, I might say even most of the time, life doesn't go exactly like we thought it was going to go. When I was a junior in high school, or I was about to become a junior in high school, my family moved, which is a great time to move, right? Right in the middle of high school. At least it was between school years, so that was nice. I at least got to do the whole year somewhere. And we moved to Southeast Missouri, and I didn't know anybody there. The only reason we moved there is because both of my grandparents on my dad's side were battling cancer, and they were in their last couple of months of a decades-long battle with cancer. And so we moved in, my mom and I did, as my dad was finishing up his military career. We moved in there to help take care of them. So you talk about a hopping place to be. We're at a house with two people who basically are stuck in bed, feeling miserable at the end of a frustrating battle, and my mom trying to care for them, and hospice stopping by every once in a while. And I moved there as a junior in high school to a little town where everybody knew everybody except me. And yay, this is awesome, right? This is a good story. You know, why is this happening? Why me? Why do I have to do this? And now, knowing the end of the story, I can fast forward to the end and show you the bride that I found there in Dexter and say, hey, it was well worth it. Because if I hadn't gone there in that situation, oh, there she is back there. She's not here. He has an invisible bride. Okay. He's pointing at those teenagers. What's wrong with this guy? Okay. But if I hadn't moved to Dexter, I wouldn't have had a chance to ever even meet her. I would have never even known her. But God has a plan, doesn't he? God knows who we are, and he knows what we need. In fact, God knows where we are, and he knows what we need. That's kind of the theme of today's message as we look at the disciples. See, in John chapter 21, the disciples had just been following Jesus for a few years. They were coming along and things were looking great, and Jesus is healing people and the crowds are growing and this is getting bigger and bigger, and they're like, this is going to be awesome. He's the Messiah. It's going to be great. And all of a sudden, one day, it all turned upside down and they crucified Jesus and they put him in a tomb. The disciples did not see this coming, and they were like, what in the world do we do now? And that's a question we probably find ourselves asking, what to do? I'm going out of order on my slide. Sorry, Jimmy. What to do? He's with me. What do we do sometimes? Like, you find yourself in a spot, in a situation, like, what do I do? Maybe it's a work problem, and you've got a transition from work. Maybe this employer is less than pleased with you or has to do something different with your career, and so you're on your own looking for a new step. Maybe it's a relationship where you thought it was going this direction. You find out they're going that direction, and you're dealing with that relationship. What do you do? What do you do in those moments? Those are questions that we're all going to have from time to time, because life doesn't really play fair. You and I have both been in way over our heads before, right? Not in this water. This is pretty shallow stuff here, but way over our heads. Or maybe you had it all lined up and then everything went sideways. And sometimes we call that life. It's just kind of how things happen to us sometimes. It doesn't often play fair or easy. It's not always predictable or as expected as we want. It's kind of like the weather. The forecast can be right on or it can be way off. In John 21, we find a group of ex-fishermen returning to the sea, totally at a loss of what to do. They had seen the resurrected Jesus, but they didn't know what that meant or what was going to happen from here, and they were a little bit at a loss. And so Peter says something really profound. He says, hey, guys, I'm going to go fishing. And they're like, hey, I'll go fishing too. And so they go fishing. Now they had left everything and followed Jesus for years, and everything was on track, and then it all turned around on a certain day. Like getting punched in the gut, life went upside down on them. Has anybody ever been in a situation like that? You just took a gut shot from life and just you're at a loss for what to do. You're in a stuck moment. That's really the heart of today, dealing with that, is what do we do when life shocks us? What do we do when it doesn't go like we thought? The disciples were there. Now what do we do? Peter decided he would go fishing. Now, some preachers, some historians, they like to give Peter a really rough time here. They want to theologize a bit and say, oh, he's just going back to his old ways. He left all this time Jesus was with him, and he immediately just went back to what he did before. And, you know, like a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. And they want to just throw Peter under the bus that he's just a total failure and missed it all along. I don't see in the scripture where that's indicated to us so we can proclaim that. I think in scripture, we just find out that they just went fishing. It might not have been a theological Peter's failure. It might not have been, it might have been that they needed food. They are humans, right? They eat regularly. It might have been that they needed to pay some bills or they needed some provisions. And so they go fishing because that's what they know to do. And they make some provisions and they have some money to live on for. It might have been any of those things. The Bible's kind of quiet about it other than Peter went fishing. But the cool thing is that Jesus knew where to find them. Jesus knows who we are. We talked about that last week. He knows us. And he calls us to follow him. But he knows where we are in our situation. I've been in situations where I've wondered if he lost me somewhere. God, are you aware of what is happening to your favorite kid right now? Because it seems like you'd do something different if you knew. To me. Anybody ask God that question before? Absolutely. Jimmy's voting hardcore back there. He's like, full hand up in the air. Yeah, I'm voting, Pastor. Other people are not. Anyway, okay. So we've been in that situation before, and the Bible doesn't indicate that Peter's failing here or anything like that. They may have just needed provisions or food. Either way, it doesn't matter, except Jesus knew where they were and what they needed. If I was taking notes in a church service on the little section of my bulletin that the pastor gave me, hint, hint, and I was wanting to write some stuff down, that would be a phrase that I would write down, that Jesus knows where I am and what I need. It's obvious. It's churchy. It's too easy, isn't it? Isn't that just a cheesy church statement? Jesus knows where you are and what you need. We've all heard it, right? But how true is it? I mean, it's one of those things. It's just too simple. It should be more complicated. It should be fancier. There should be longer words in it or something. But the truth is, it's just he knows where you are. And he knows what you need. He knows that you're hurting. He knows that you're in a frustrated situation. He knows that life went sideways. He knows that they messed up your situation. It's not your fault. He knows. He knows where you are. Maybe you're here today and you've just been dealing with life on the chin, or maybe sucker punching you in the gut, and you're just really sick of how all this is going on, and it's like God has forgotten you. But I just want to remind you from the scripture, from the Spirit of God today, that he knows where you are. That's got to be encouragement to us, because he knows where we are and he knows what we need. Maybe not what we want. I like to ask, I've always asked every youth group I've ever led, I preach this, or not this, but when I preach about prayer requests, I always like to just remind us of all this. Because we've all prayed for something stupid before. Now maybe for you, you're so holy and mature, it was a long, long, long time ago. But when you were 7 years old and you prayed that your brother would fall and skin his knee because of what he did to you, right? Lord, just give him diarrhea, you know, whatever. Just, you know, whatever. You just pray stupid stuff sometimes when you get selfish, right? Or you're a little kid, or maybe you're a teenager and you know who God should hook you up with for life, right? Oh, God, just give me that girl. Her, you know the one. Yeah, her. Oh, man. I know it's your will, God. I know it's got to be, right? We're just telling God how it ought to be. We pray for stupid stuff sometimes. And you find out, oh, I'm glad it wasn't her. Woo, okay. We've all prayed for things like that. And we come to God, and a lot of times we think he's far away. We think we have this figured out. But God knows where you are, and he knows what you need. Let's read in John chapter 21. I don't have it on the screen because it's a bit of a chunk here. So you have a Bible there with you, maybe in the pew if you need one. online. If you've got your Bible app out, you can do that, or if you brought a Bible this morning. But it's John chapter 21. We'll begin in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They fished all night and caught what? Nothing. Can you imagine about most of the way through the night, Peter's self-loathing statements like, "All right, I give my life to God for 3 years, follow this guy around. The next thing you know, they crucify him. They put him in a tomb. His dead is gone. It's over. Now I come out here to fish, and I can't even catch a fish. What is the deal?" Right? Does anybody ever like to pile on yourself like that? The guilt trip on yourself where you just lay it on thick and just tell yourself how much of a loser you are? Satan loves to have you in that position because it means that you're acting like God doesn't know where you are and that God doesn't know what you need. It's a trick of the enemy that we've got to grow past. Amen? No matter what your personality, no matter what your temperament, you've got to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ and say, "You know what? I feel like this is what's going on, but I know better." Amen? I feel like God's a million miles away, but I know better. Let's pick back up again. So early in the morning, verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" I mean, however you say that phrase can really be condescending, or it can be kind. "Haven't you any fish?" Or, "Haven't you any fish?" Just in how you say it, isn't it? I don't know how he said it. We'll leave it to Jesus. He knows. He was there. Okay. "No," they answered. I can guess how they answered that. "No." Yeah, anyway, okay, like a little toddler or something. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Oh, that's how it goes, right? I mean, can you just imagine that for a second? Oh, sure, they're not over here. They're just right here. That makes perfect sense. All night long we've been doing this. You dude who doesn't know what you're talking about on the shore. We're right here. We've been doing this all night long. The boat's been moving, dude. Don't you understand? The right side's not always been the right side. You think the fish are hiding from us or something? I mean, just the frustration in that moment, I can't imagine. "So throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Here's the crazy thing, the next three words. When they did. They're like, okay. They just did it. How many of you guys would not have done it? I mean, let's be honest. There's no way. Like, shut up. Leave me alone. Quit telling me what to do, you fool. You don't even know who I am. What are you talking to me? Right? I don't know if I but they did it. For whatever reason, they did it. Maybe they were really desperate. I don't know. Maybe they just thought he saw something in the refraction of the light through the water. Oh, they're over there. He can see them. I don't know. Anyway, when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. When the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's how John refers to himself in his gospel. When the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals where fish were, and there were fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. That's pretty precise, right? That's a lot of fish. Large, 153 large fish. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Another miraculous catch of fish. found in John chapter 21. Now, I don't really know if we can grasp that lost feeling that the guys were dealing with at this point. Having given their entire lives, maybe it'd be like going to a university for 3 years or 3.5 years and about to graduate, and then all of a sudden the university just folds up and says your credits aren't worth anything. Oh gosh. No. That might not capture it. They've given their lives and everything to this, and then it all just turned around and went underneath. And they had no idea what was going to happen from here. They're on the threshold of a miraculous kingdom, and it all changed in a moment. Maybe you can relate. Maybe a marriage goes off track, and all of a sudden it's broken and it's struggling. When a job is humming along, and all of a sudden they change your world for you. Or maybe you're living the dream, and then sickness or tragedy floods into your life. And it brings pain, and it brings issues, it brings struggles that you didn't see, and you don't see why they're even necessary. In truth, we've all have ideas of how life should go, and often it comes out very different. What do you do? Who do you turn to? Again, we're reminding you that God is faithful. God doesn't get stuck. God is greater. That's something we need to understand. God has never been surprised. It's not possible to sneak up on God. He's not been shocked. He's not been, whoa, how did that happen? Like, he's never been taken by surprise because he's God and he's aware. He knows you. He knows where you are and he knows what you need. Looking at this story of the miraculous catch of fish, can you imagine the memory that stirred up in Peter? Remember last week we showed Peter and these guys out fishing. And again, they'd been fishing and caught nothing, and they pulled in a whole net of fish, right? Just try it again, and okay. And they did it. And they pulled in this huge catch of fish. Can you imagine, as soon as that happened, Peter was like, maybe that's why they cast the net, because they're like, wait a second. Deja vu. This sounds familiar. But Jesus is reminding them of how he provided and how he called them to be. He's reminding them of the mission. In fact, when Peter leaves the boat to come to shore, Jesus is like, hey, come on in, guys. And so Peter goes back to the boat and brings in the fish. Some scholars are telling us that that's reminding us, hey, he's pointing Peter to do something more than just following Jesus, yes, but also leading and bringing in the net full of the church. And providing for the body of Christ that's coming along, the catch of souls that God is going to bring them, that Peter's going to be leading that charge and managing that charge. There's a lot happening in that, but Peter is realizing that Jesus is on the scene again. He instantly realizes that God isn't done, that there's more to this, and God is still in it. Can I challenge you to trust God in your stuck moment? I mean, maybe that just sounds trite or simple or too easy, but to just trust God in your stuck moments. Simply say that even when I'm out of control, God is not. Can we admit that today? Even when my circumstances look and feel and seem out of control, God is not out of control. Career choices, marital struggles, parenting challenges, work problems. We're all often way out of our league, but God is not. When we're stuck and clueless, he is supernaturally able. And that's the key that we need to really remind ourselves of. It's not just naturally available, but it's supernaturally available. He's doing things that cannot happen in the natural realm. That cannot happen in the natural world. I don't know if they've ever caught 153 large fish in those nets, but they were shocked because the nets didn't tear. But they did that after fishing all night long in those very same waters. It's supernatural. Were the fish hiding? Were they just kind of staying under the boat? Were they moving around? Did God just invent them the moment that they cast the nets in? The fish just became? Was it teleportation, Star Trek? I don't know. The Bible doesn't talk about it. It just says that God provided. That God gave them what they need it. More importantly, Jesus is reminding them of the mission, taking them back to how this all began. The mission is not over. Stay on target. The mission isn't over. There are still souls to be won. These disciples who maybe would just kind of fade back into a life like before, maybe they were just needing more instruction. Jesus comes along and says, hey, guys, check this out. Remember when I called you to be fishers of men? I still need you to be fishers of men. In fact, more than ever now, because I'm going away, and you are going to take over this church. You're going to lead this body of Christ. You're going to lead this. There's a mission to be accomplished still. The best is yet to come. More than the fish, they needed a reminder of their mission, of their purpose. Because let's go fishing is a call to adventure, to go after the souls of men, lost and dying all around us. I hope we get this. This is not something where I want to badger us, because it's a challenge for me as well. I've grown up in church my whole life. I've been a part of church. Jesus is just, it's just part of who I am, and I'm just used to that. And dangerously enough, we get used to that. But I believe that we have to have a fresh understanding of the lostness of men and women around us. I believe it would, if Jesus came to church this morning and decided to go out and have lunch with you today, our conversation would probably be different at lunch, right? We'd probably introduce him to everybody. We'd probably be concerned about, it would heighten our awareness of the souls of people around us, wouldn't it? Because he's Jesus, he's the Son of God. And we're supposed to be on a mission, and the souls around us are lost and dying. They are lost without Christ. They are stuck in addiction. They are stuck in habits of life that keep pulling them downward in a spiral that they just don't know another way to live. They have questions that don't have any answers. When they get sick, they don't think recovery is an option. They just get sick. They don't think healing is a possibility, because you just get sick and die. That's just what humans do. Because they don't know a supernatural God that knows where they are and what they need. They don't know. That's stuff that we're just so used to. If somebody's sick, what's my first thought? Let's pray for them. Let's believe God to heal them. If people don't know Jesus, they don't know that's possible. They don't know that's an option. If people don't know Jesus, they don't know that eternity is an option. They just think, if I get away with it now, it's okay. And it's not. We all know that. That there's a reckoning for our actions in this life, and everything that we do has a consequence. It has a result. We know this stuff because we have an eternal perspective. We have a view that sees this played out. But people that are lost don't know that. They're just living check to check, day to day. They don't have a perspective that sees that. And we have an opportunity to impact that if we'll be fishers of men. Jesus is reminding us of the mission. He's saying, remember how I called you guys with this miraculous catch of fish? Check it out. I still need you guys to go fishing. I still need you guys to call out for the souls of men. I still need your everyday life to be centered in on the heartbeat of God, which is souls need Christ. Souls need Christ. When I wake up in the morning, people need Jesus. When I go to bed at night, people need Jesus. When I'm out at lunch, people need Jesus. If I have that, I've heard a famous preacher talked about eternity stamped on your eyeballs. If you had eternity just stamped on there, everything you see, like the lens that you're looking through, everything you see would have that color, would have that image emblazoned on it. Every soul that I encounter would have that reminding me that they need Jesus. This adventure that God's calling us on involves risk. That's the tough part of this message, is that it involves risk. There's going to be times where we hurt. There's going to be times where it doesn't go like we planned it to go. There's going to be times where the boat gets a hole in it. There's going to be times when you catch a fish stick instead. Your line breaks. Or maybe you lose all your equipment, or a storm comes up, or there's going to be times where it doesn't go the way we planned. But that doesn't negate the call to go fishing. That doesn't negate the mission. That doesn't cancel out the whole purpose of our existence, to know God and to make Him known. You must remember and apply this key concept that God knows where you are and He knows what you need. Let's bow our heads for a moment and then we'll have a couple of options to close here. First of all, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's what we're all about. We're about introducing people to Jesus Christ. If you're a soul that's living and breathing, you need Christ. You need forgiveness of sin because we've all messed up. Every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And that sin brings death both in this life. It brings death to relationships. It brings death to everything around us. And it also brings eternal death, separation from God. That's what it does. There's no arguing that. You can see it in the world around us, from mass shootings to hysteria, to disease, to all sorts of things around the world. Sin is running rampant, but there is a Savior who forgives us of our sin and gives us a purpose and gives us a life to live. And if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and to set you on a new path with Him, to give you life and life eternal, life to the fullest, the best life possible, if that's you today, would you just raise your hand and make eye contact with me today so I can pray with you? Anybody here? I need Jesus Christ to forgive me. I need salvation. Anybody here? We're casting the net this morning. I need Jesus. Anybody here? Just raise your hand. This is private. I'll meet with you after service. That's fine. Anybody here? Just raise your hand, wave at me. Make eye contact. Anybody here? Okay, secondly, I want to do this. If you'd look up at me, we're going to close up with this morning. And God put this on my heart as we were preparing this message and wanted to share this today, that there are, in a room this full of people, there are definitely people going through a tough time. A time where you feel like God doesn't know where you are and He doesn't understand what you need. Whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's physical needs, whatever the case may be, you know where you're at. You know when this is resonating with you as I'm preaching it. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, I'm here. I'm here. I want to be a part of your world. I want to make a difference for you. And so I want to ask, if you're here this morning, if our deacons and spouses could come up and join me, I just want to be ready to pray for some people because I believe that God wants to do some work this morning. I believe God wants to heal some sickness. I believe God wants to set some perspectives on a right plane so that we can see what God is doing. But just come on up. There's some oil right here. I'll pass this along. And as anybody comes forward, there you go. We just want to lay hands on them and pray that God will move in your situation because you're not stuck. God's not stuck. Therefore, you're not stuck. Amen? Do we believe it? And we've got to believe this. We've got to come in faith and say, you know what, Lord? I don't see you're working here, but I know you are. I know the Word of God says it, but God, I need you to show it to me. I need you to reveal that to me. I need you to help me in this moment. So if you need prayer, Beth's already coming forward. That's great. If you need prayer this morning, you're like, God, I need you to show up in my situation. I need healing. I need help. I need forgiveness. I need a relationship restored. Whatever the case is, just come on forward and we're going to pray. There's no shame in this. It's all God working. Now, if you're at your seat and you can't make your way up here, wave at us and we'll come pray with you where you're at, okay? We want to absolutely do that because we believe in a healing, powerful, almighty God. We believe in God can work in our situation and can move in your life today. It doesn't have to be another service. It doesn't have to be a Friday. It doesn't have to be something far away. God's ready to move today. Amen? Amen, church? So let's believe God to do that. Brooke's going to play a little something up there. Or Jimmy, maybe you've got something you can play just to kill the silence a bit. We're just going to agree in prayer. If you're in your seat and you want to pray for these that are coming forward, that's great. If you're in your seat and you need prayer, just wave at us, and we want to come anoint you with oil and believe that God's going to work in your situation. So anybody there, just flag us down, and we'll come pray. We're just going to take a few moments and just ask God to show up. If, as they're praying, go ahead. If this was your moment, Wouldn't you want to pray in church backing you up? If you felt like God was far away, wouldn't you want people to hold you up in their hands and show you that God's right next to you? So let's do that as a body of Christ this morning. As these are still praying, I want to ask you just to get involved, get active here. Perhaps you're in a situation or where you know somebody firsthand, maybe it's family, maybe it's friend, who is going through a mess right now, whether it's a mental struggle, whether it's a physical struggle, relationship issue, whatever the case is. If you have somebody in your life like that, would you just stand to your feet this morning? We're just going to agree together that God would move in their needs. Anybody here? You know somebody firsthand, whether it's a neighbor, they've got a financial struggle, they got problems going on, they got a marital struggle, whatever the case may be. You see everybody standing here. The world's going through struggles, right? We talked about it last summer. The struggle is real, but God is greater. Amen? And God has not given up. He's not lost control. He's not out of control. He's not on vacation. Even though it's summer, He is faithful. Amen? And so let's just lift up these names. You know who they are. Call out their names and just let's ask God to move in their situation. Let's ask God to show up in His mighty hand. Father God, we lift these needs up to You. Lord, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a struggle internally, God, whatever the person's going through, Lord, we call out their names to You this morning. God, that You would just show Yourself mighty in their needs. Show Yourself real in their situation, Father God. God, make Yourself known to them, Lord God. Give them a catch of vision they weren't expecting today. Give them an opportunity, Lord. They felt like they've been fishing all night long and nothing's happened. God, that You've left them and that they don't know what to do, but God, You are with them. You know where they are. You know what they need, and You can bring them to that need. Jesus, Lord, I pray that You provide for those who need. God, that You would show up through the church body. May You That's how people are going to get saved, because they're going to see you working. They're going to see your hand at work in their life. And they're going to realize that you have the best life possible for them. And they're going to offer their life to you, Lord God. They're going to get salvation. They're going to get healing. They're going to get victory. They're going to get deliverance, because you are going to show up in their situation. Maybe it's a neighbor who's going through a rough time, getting a restart on life. God, I pray that you would give them a fresh start. God, give them a perspective that sees hope instead of despair. God, give them energy instead of a fear or a laziness. Lord, give them strength to battle through, Lord God, where they feel like they're just exhausted. Let us come alongside them and bring them life and life to the fullest. God, I pray that you would make yourself known in our city. Make yourself known in our neighborhoods, God, so that people will know that there is a God that is real and living and active and loves us, and he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And when we live that out, people will see that joy and that energy and that passion, and they will know there's something real to this, God. It's not fairy tales. It's not old wives' tales. It's not just tradition. It's truth. It is truth, Lord, and we live that out day to day. And God, I pray that you would reveal that through our lives to those that are around us, those we're calling out their names. Speak life and hope and peace into people's lives, Lord God. Give us hands that help. Give us feet that serve. God, help us to be what you want us to be, so that we can see souls saved and lives changed for the glory of God. We give you all the glory, all the praise, Lord, for what you're going to do as we continue to fish, even in our struggle, even when we feel down. Lord, we're going to keep fishing. We're going to keep seeking souls. We're going to keep reaching out for those you put near us. Draw us into your will, into your presence, God, so that it can change the world around us. We'll give you all the glory, God. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. In case you haven't noticed this, I firmly believe that Sunday is just a launching point. Our church service time together is simply a launching point where we gather together, we rally around. It's like a huddle. Here's the play. Ready, set, break, and we go and we make it happen. And I believe that's what God's calling us to do as a church. So as you go through this week, as you're partying and having a great time tomorrow and blowing things up in the name of America, right? As you're having a great time doing that stuff tomorrow, just make sure that you are realizing that you are on a fishing trip. You are on a fishing adventure. God has commissioned you, and there are souls that need you to be right where you are, and God's going to give them exactly what they need. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you Wednesday night.